The reading this evening comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, starting at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening, church. It's been a while, hasn't it? I don't know about you, but it's been a long day for me. Emma and I have spend about 4 hours a day tootling backwards to Haverford West and back here, and it is good to be here. It is good to be with family. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to what God will do with us yet this evening. Now, I don't know about you, when you listen or you read to this section in John's Gospel, you might think, wow, Jesus, he's just got a way with words. He just paints these pictures that just say so much. And when I was preparing, I was praying and I was asking God, oh God, could you give me an illustration? Something for those people who don't have green fingers. You know, people who struggle to relate to the gardening things. And I was praying and God told me something. I said, okay, that's okay, but I'm sure you can do better, God. And I kept praying. And he's like, no, that's it. So my illustration is, as you might imagine, the electric toothbrush. Now, I don't know about you, whether you still brush the manual way or the electric toothbrush way, which is the best way. But I have to say, after you've had an electric toothbrush, there is absolutely no going back. If you have had root canal surgery, you care about the quality of your teeth. And you take, you know, a reasonable amount of pride when your dentist compliments you on how wonderfully clean and polished they're looking. But as good as my electric toothbrush is, I have to say it's got one fatal flaw, that every now and again, that wonderful sort of high power that gives you that wonderful sort of clean feeling, it sort of chugs down, and then it stops altogether. And then I find myself trying to brush my teeth with a toothbrush with a head that's about this big, and it's just more effort. It's an absolute waste of time. Because that electric toothbrush, it needs to spend time connected to the charger. And to be honest, the older it gets, the more time it needs to spend connected to the charger, connected to the source of power. Without that, it becomes useless. You're better off leaving it in a drawer. Now, if you look at this passage in John, Jesus uses, you might say, a far better example. This of the vine, the branches, and the fruit. He tells his disciples that the only way they're going to be fruitful is if they remain in him, if they remain in complete dependence on him. He is the vine, they are the branches. Separate themselves from him, and they have got zero hope of producing any fruit. Now, of course, when Jesus says, I am the vine, it comes at the end of a whole sequence of these I am sayings in John's Gospel. If you work your way through it, it's this repeating sort of pattern, this sort of poetry of language that's built into the Gospel. We've got, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then finally, I am the vine. It's almost a condensed gospel in and of itself. Over and over again, Jesus tells his followers, remain in me, or if you're used to an older language, abide in me. Remain in me, and I will remain in you, he says. Remain in me, and you will bear much fruit. Remain in me, and ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. But we might ask, what does it mean to remain in Jesus? I was at a prayer meeting about 3 weeks ago, and this very question came up, and there were three preachers there, and we had at least three answers on what it might be. What is, on a practical basis, when you get up in the morning, the equivalent of a branch remaining in the vine? Because based on what Jesus is saying here, it seems pretty important. Who of us wouldn't like to be people who bear fruit, to see some practical outworking, some results of our faith? Who wouldn't like to have a prayer life in which God's invitation was, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you? Perhaps a helpful way of thinking about this is to ask ourselves, when is it, what are those times when I really meet with God? When is it that I feel closest to him? What are those times when I'm most conscious of his presence, of his prompting, of his love? In what way does each of us, in our own way, encounter that intimate time with God, where we could say that truly he is remaining in us and we are remaining in him? Now, if I was to take the roving microphone and ask you, I imagine that we might have at least a dozen different answers, and then maybe more. For many of us, it's going to be that quiet time we set aside for reading the Bible, for prayer. It might be times of worship in the high praise or the reflective stuff. For others, it may well be when they just serve others and see in that person the face of Jesus. For others, it might be the great outdoors when they're up on a hillside looking around, or they're in their garden. They're just overwhelmed with that beauty of creation. But if you read the Gospels, you'll see this phrase or something like it coming up again and again. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Or at daybreak, Jesus went off to a solitary place. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus valued time with his Father. He needed time with the Father. So he made time to be with the Father. Now, thinking back to September last year, when you as a church sent me off to Bible college, thank you, the one thing that was probably looming largest in my mind was just this overwhelming sense of being out of my depth and it all being a bit too much and, oh dear. Now, if you had the chance to chat to myself or Emma, you'll know that it was never really our life's intention to go into ministry. If you asked the 12-year-old John, what do you want to be when you grow up? He would have told you any number of things, but pastor was not one of them. Yet I found myself agreeing with the church that there probably was a call and we should pursue it. But this wasn't a fantastic place to be in. I felt, as I say, just overwhelmed with the inadequacy. I hated public speaking. It's not a word to use lightly, but it was really top of my dislikes. I had a huge anxiety when I would do it. I'd be beating myself up afterwards. The things I said, oh, not quite right. The things I did say, I wish I didn't. Oh, I should have said that. It was a painful process. But if you find yourself in that sort of situation where you're doing something that you believe God wants you to do, one of the wonderful bits of advice you'll have from other people is, it's okay. God equips the people he calls. God equips the people he calls. Fantastic. So I find myself in that situation saying, okay, God, here I am. Not really coping that very well. Okay, God, equip me, please. So, for some reason, I had this idea in my head that the closer I could get to God, the more this might happen. The more I was in his presence, the more he might equip me. The more of the heavy lifting he would do rather than me try and do it myself. Because I knew I couldn't do it myself. So I sought out pretty much every opportunity I could get to spend time in God's presence. And it's been a bit of a journey. I found I can meet God wonderfully well in worship. It can be hymns. It can be the modern stuff. It can be, I've even met God, you know, singing in Latin. Yeah, I say that quite quietly. I've met him at the big conferences. I've met him right here in this room. I've met him in our small group. I've met him in the quiet time alone. And it's the strangest thing that I set out at the start of the year to pursue God. And I think it was probably about, I don't know, March or April, I discovered that, you know, I was trying to pursue God and he was pursuing me, that he was sort of meeting me faster than I was going into him. What a strange thing. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if you have an idea of what it might mean to remain in Jesus, what sort of fruit might we see? Now firstly, I believe we might see what you could call an inner fruit, some transformation of our character. And we might look back at that first time when we said, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. And I'm guessing that, yeah, maybe like me, there were at least one or two things in your life that weren't that great. And yet, on that journey of faith, there have been times when God has challenged you about that, when you have made, you might say, progress in your faith. Although there would be stops and starts and maybe some backsliding, over the journey as a whole, the more time you've spent with Christ, I would hope your story is that the more Christ-like you have become. Verse 2 of the reading says that the Father prunes or cuts clean every branch that does bear fruit so that it will be even more fruitful. Now, I'd imagine many of us know of those times when God has prompted us and he's highlighted an area in our life and he's said, choose this or me. And I imagine if you're anything like me, that choice has not been an easy one. I'd imagine for many of us, it has been a painful one. But we can have an assurance that, like this master gardener, God is pruning away only those things which we don't need, and he does it for a purpose, that we may bear much fruit. Now, as I was saying, when I set out to pursue God, to spend more time in his presence, I had a very practical, a very specific goal in mind. I wanted to be able to stand up here, I wanted to have something to say, and I wanted to be able to say it without being terrified. But I found that more time that I spent with God, that he was doing something far more valuable, far more precious, that I found him without me even realizing it fully, that areas of my life that were not great, patterns of thought which were not helpful, patterns of sin which I had struggled with for over 10 years, which had dominated my life even as a Christian, these things which were a monster in my spiritual life were just gone. That even though I was pursuing God for this little thing, this practical thing, this very, in the grand scheme of things, insignificant thing, he was doing something far greater. And for any of you, what God did for me, he can do for you and much more yet still. Now, I believe that the second type of fruit we might see is a sort of an outward fruit, a fruitfulness in the kingdom, an effectiveness in what we do that goes far beyond anything of our own strength, our own intellect, our own reasoning, persuasion, our own abilities. What might that look like, I wonder? It might look like salvation, of people just being convicted when they hear the good news of what Jesus has done for them. That they hear a call that they just cannot say no to. I believe it might look like praying for the sick and more of them getting better. It might look like the transformation of our community far beyond anything we could ever do ourselves. Any persuasion that we might have, any argument, any kindness we could do. It might look like a revival of God springing up and breaking out. Wouldn't you like to see? Amen. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You and I are always going to be tempted to work out of our own strength, our own efforts, to strive with everything we've got, but ultimately, what are we going to achieve? Or will we instead take Jesus up on his invitation to remain in him, to abide with him and him in us, to live out of that place of intimacy with God, of that place of his presence, and from where he promises us that we will see much fruit. Amen.
Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other." Brothers and sisters, as we leave this place this evening and go out into our community and our world, let's go out remaining in Christ and bearing much fruit. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.